And we've got open lines for you now for the next couple hours. You know, AboveTopSecret.com has come up with its top 10 conspiracy theories. I'm going to give you their top five. Number five, the collapse of the global economy was a controlled demolition. Number four, the assassination of John F. Kennedy. That ranks way up there in the conspiracy theories. Number three, the attacks on September 11, 2001. Still a top conspiracy story. It's way up there. Number two, all time, the ET and UFO cover-up. They simply say that governments are covering up extraterrestrial visitations and their spacecraft. And, of course, the number one top conspiracy theory, the New World Order. The secret cabals working toward a global one-world government that stays on top as number one. I'll be back in a moment with Open Lines now on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Open Lines now on Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie, and you are on Gulfport, Mississippi. We go, Michael, east of the Rockies. Hey, Michael, what's up?
I was wondering how long it was going to be before they played Guns N' Roses.
They love that back in L.A.
I could have swore I heard you singing in the background, George.
No, that one was not me.
No, I just want you to turn that camera off before we start talking.
All right, Flip, you're
Thank
up.
You.
Got it.
That was the last time you got me with the camera thing.
You got that's right. That's right. That was you.
That was me, yes. But you killed me with your predictions, and I was almost giddy with laughter, and you almost had me hooked with the camera, I'm going to tell you. Just about that much more, and I probably fell right off the edge.
Or my remote viewing abilities, huh?
Those. I don't even want to go into that. There's no full moon out tonight. I'm going to wait for that. But, you know, speaking of these angels and stuff, this has been brought up many times, too, but I almost feel like we're like a lab experiment. Some type of alien race going back millions of years started this whole thing, and like, you know, like something in a petri dish, two scientists looking at and say, hey, let's inject this enzyme in there and see what happens, and something crawls out of the ocean, you know?
Yeah, you might be right.
And, you know, you've had some people on a few of your shows, I can't recall their names, talking about the intergalactic war against this alien race, against that alien race. One alien race is bad, one's good, back and forth, you know? And I think that things like evilness or you know, meanness, hatred, I think it's inert in the human nature. And I think maybe the whole experiment was to see if they could create a species that could overcome this inert emotion or whatever you want to, evilness, whatever you want to call it, that would rise above even their two races. And that, here's, everybody's got a take on 2012. The take that I see is you know, they say the Mayans were visited by aliens. And even in the Mormon Bible, they talk about the God. The
Indians. Oh, they're huge believers of extraterrestrials.
The white men were gods because the gods had visited them before and told them they were coming back. It didn't take the Indians long to figure out nope, these are not gods. But anyway, 2012, the reason why the Mayan calendar ends, maybe they are coming back.
Well, some people think that that could be possible. See, I think, Michael, this planet also may be some kind of like prison planet. I think that they may have dumped, you know, the everything on this planet. You know, it some of us turned out good, but the rest of us didn't.
You read too many Australian novels.
Take care, Mike.
All right, good to talk to you.
I was watching the National Geographic Channel yesterday, and they had an incredible story on about a couple hippos, hippopotamuses, in the wild. And the male hippo was after the female hippo. The female hippo had a baby calf. It wasn't his baby calf. He ate it. He ate it. He killed it. And they were trying to get away, and they couldn't, and he got it. And the mother calf came back, And it was just looking for its baby. Every species on this planet does something like that. I mean, it's bizarre how it kills. And there's something wrong with this planet for it to happen with everything that's on this planet. You know, and this is beyond survival of the fittest. Let's go to Dayton, Tennessee, I take it. Tanya, you're up with us. Hi, Tanya.
Hi, George. By the way, I wanted to tell you that my husband and I are firm believers in your show, and we absolutely love it.
Great. Thank you, and thank you. And what's his name?
Steve.
Steve. Thanks, Steve. Go ahead.
A couple nights ago, my husband woke up, and while he was half in and half out of sleep, he was sleeping with his hands covering his eyes. And when he looked, he saw scripture on both of his hands. And I believe what he said, instead it started out, God grant me. It sounded to me like it was the serenity prayer. He just became a true follower of Jesus. And it's amazing to see the turnaround from the life that he lived before to now. I was wondering if you could possibly give me an opinion on whether or not an angel or the spirit of or the Holy Spirit came down and showed him this sign to help affirm his belief.
Or maybe his consciousness was so strong, it did it itself.
It could be.
Now, you didn't see this, though, right?
No, I didn't. But he swears up and down that he saw the scripture in his hands.
And maybe he did, but what if he was also dreaming?
Well, he was awake. He was starting to wake up, and that's when he saw this.
Have you ever had a lucid dream where you know you're in the dream and you know it's a dream? You're controlling it. I wonder if he had something like that. I don't know. This message that he got, though, I don't think it's a test. I'm wondering if it's a sign of things to come.
To grant him serenity to accept the changes that are coming.
Whatever happens.
Yeah, I believe so, too.
All right,
I think it was a sign from God.
Keep listening.
Thank you very much, George, and love the show.
Okay. Wednesday, maybe, first hour. I'm not sure yet because I'm in St. Louis, and you know the network's back in Los Angeles. I'll be back in L.A. in about 3.5-4 weeks or so. Then I'm going back there again. And I'm going to give you an update on sci-fi, too, because I know a lot of you keep asking about that. But Wednesday, maybe, and again, it depends if the engineering staff uncrates this or not. You know how things are going in this economy. I mean, it's all over the place. And, you know, everybody is tightening their belts and stuff like that. Well, we may have in the country the very first, I used to kid about this, but the very first robotic talk show host. And it's beyond a computer. It does not look human by any means. I don't know if we can get a digital picture up in time on this thing. But, you know, it's supposed to be fully programmed, handles phone calls, and I don't know, I guess it saves money. So, you know, if they have it up and running, I may bring in it as part of the program on Wednesday. But I'm not going to promise it yet. You know, honestly, I hope it's not a success, to tell you the truth. I mean, can you imagine talk shows all around this country having robots as talk show hosts? I mean, you might want to have the conservative robot, the liberal robot, the paranormal robot, and you just plug these things in. But my gosh, you know, in this economy, people need to have their jobs. You know, so I wouldn't want to see a robotic talk show host, but we've got one, apparently. We're going to test it out. And I volunteered to get the robot on this program because none of the other hosts wanted to touch it. So we'll give it a try if it's ready. I'm told it's got a lot of kinks to it. Let's go. That would be Wednesday. Let's go to Carolyn in Pennsylvania. You're on the air with us. Hi, Carolyn. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. And
sure thing.
This is not a robot, is it? Or
No. I'm the real deal.
Okay. Hey.
And I will not give them my real voice either.
Oh, great. Well, I just wanted to ask you: is there any? Do you think there's a connection between this star Arcturus and perhaps unicorns? Have you? The reason I ask is I was doing some research, and this person that wrote this information said there was beings from Arcturus that looked similar to, horses. They kind of have the features, the thick mane,
yes,
and that type of thing. Have you ever heard anything like that? Or
I haven't heard of the tie-in at all. But tell me, why would you think it would be related?
Well, I have horses, and I just have such a connection. And now this lady that you had on talking about the unicorns and all the interesting information, it resonated. But I also seem to have a connection with Arcturus, and I just wondered if you knew of anything about that.
No, I don't. Maybe somebody does, and they'll call. Did you like that show with her? That hour and a half or so we had with her.
Oh, she's great.
She's good.
I couldn't believe it. You know, as soon as you said about her voice, I was thinking the same.
Yeah, she was. You know, and my producers last week said, hey, why don't you think about doing an hour on unicorns? And I said, what? An hour on unicorns? I'm a guy. I'm not going to. How can I do a show on unicorns? Yeah, but she was great. It was fun.
And one quick thing, and I'll let you go. The upcoming show that you're going to be at, what's the real, in April, which one is that? Is that in L.A.?
Well, I've got one coming up in Washington, D.C., which is
Washington.
The ExoPolitics
right.
one on Disclosure.
Okay, is that a huge...
That's a big event. Some pretty heavy hitters are going to that.
Because that's pretty, that's not too far from
well, you should go. If you want information, it's under the calendar section right there at coasttocoastam.com. It's right almost in the middle of the homepage.
Okay,
it just says George's travel schedule. Come on out there. Come on by.
Sounds like a great event.
So hey, let me ask you this. If this robotic thing works, how would you react to that? Would you call into a talk show that had a robot as the talk show host?
Sure.
You would.
I would.
Would you argue with it?
I'm sorry. What did you say?
Would you argue with it?
I don't think so. Not if it would give me a reason to. But no, I think it would be great. I think there's a lot more of that going on than we realize, don't you?
What would happen if this thing gets higher ratings than most human talk show hosts? No, they're not going to surpass this program by any means. But, I mean, there are other programs out there that it could get higher ratings, these robots.
Wow. You're going to be unemployed, huh?
No. Not this show. This show's untouchable. But
yeah,
we may be the one that experiments with it, though, on
Wednesday. That's neat. That's great. That'll go down in history.
Well, and apparently the company that makes these things has the ability to program it any way you want. So, I mean, if you want it to be pro one world government, that's what it'll be. If you want it to be, against the stimulus package, that's what it'll be. But, see, I don't know how flexible it is if it picks up and understands your words. For example, what you just talked about, I am sure it's got an encyclopedia like Wiki.
Google or something like that.
Yeah, it probably has more information in it than a human being could ever have. It would be pretty novel, I think.
Have you spoken to Alex about this? Alex Jones?
I'm not sure Alex is real, Carolyn.
Are you serious? There you go. I heard him the other night, two nights ago, when he was talking. He was getting a little wound up, and I thought, okay.
Alex, a little wound up?
Oh, just a little bit, yes. For Alex, a little bit, yes. I thought, okay, tone it down just a little bit so we can understand what you're saying. Was it two nights ago? So you don't think he's real, huh?
I'm not sure about Alex. We'll figure him out. But I'll let you know if we get this thing up and running on Wednesday.
Oh, this sounds wonderful. Okay, so hope to see you at the show.
Yeah, come on by.
Have a good night or good morning.
Too. All right, let's go to Los Angeles. Wayne, welcome to Coast. Hi, Wayne.
Good evening, George. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
Well, I was thinking of the conspiracy theories that you brought up, and actually I've thought about them over the many, many years.
The top five.
The top five, but I want to pick one.
All right.
And then I want your opinion of which way it'll go after I make this statement.
Okay.
One world government.
And that was number one on the list, so go ahead.
Well, when I think about that, I think of all the different worlds that are within our world. And I'll refer to them as different worlds instead of regimes or governments, because there's cultures along with those worlds, and such as Russia, such as China, such as the Islamic world, and so on and so on. Now, my question is this. If the conspiracy theorists, and I don't mean that in a bad way, but if this is the thought of a one-world government, there's only two ways that it can go. One way to bring everyone together through war,
mm-hmm.
which would constitute a number of countries coming together and waging such a terrible act, or two, if we go back to what Reagan said in front of the UN, okay?
Uh-huh, about the extraterrestrial presence.
Exactly, and, we would come together and so
that's
on.
That's right.
So that's my question to you. And I don't think that we'll find an answer where I would assume you and I are about the same age. So in our lifetime.
Well, I'm 58 going on 610.
Well, I'm going to turn 60 the end of April, and I'm tired. But I don't see dirt in my face in the morning.
Well, let me give you my take on this. I have always thought of the one world government like Star Trek, this federation. And just on the outskirts of that, it's pretty darn good to have all these nations, and in this case, all those worlds, but all these nations banding together for the common good. But I like autonomy. I like sovereignty. I don't like the fact that these power brokers would get together for this one world. See, I think in an ideal world, Wayne, it's a great plan. But this is not an ideal world, and it's subject to greed, as we have just seen in some of these economic problems we've had.
Right.
And I don't think we can trust leaders under a one-world government. I think it would be a disaster, because you would get these greedy people in there who want to manipulate and control, and it would lose that feeling of trying to help all of mankind.
You know what would be the answer to that?
What?
And don't go hysterical on me.
I won't.
If every nation got together one day and brought the best female representative from each of those countries and from all those women to form the government, and they have the say. Because women rule the world, whether you and I like it or not. And don't get me wrong, I love women to death. And all my past wives will tell you that. But maybe that's the solution.
You never know. You never know. What movie was that line in? You never know. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. We continue with Open Lines. When I get back to Los Angeles, we'll start giving out some more books. We have accumulated hundreds of books. Might as well give them out to you, so we'll have some fun, a few little trivia contests, and see if you can win them and pick them up. We did send out blocks of like 5, 10, 15 to one person. Some time ago. Have you signed up yet for the free Coast Zone newsletter? You can do that by going to coasttocoastam.com. Simply sign up for that. That is an email newsletter, comes right to your computer. Also, if you haven't signed up yet for Streamlink, just pennies a day. It allows you to get Coast to Coast wherever you are near a computer, and to get podcasts and special downloads as well. So you can do that by also going to coasttocoastam.com. And also, when you're there, take a look at the preview link. It'll give you an opportunity to look at the upcoming brand new, easy to use, highly graphic Coast to Coast AM.com website. Okay, welcome back to Coast, Dallas, Texas. We go, Ed, fashion capital of the world. How are you?
Yes, sir. Hello. My name is Ed. I'm in Dallas, and first-time caller. I've been listening to you for just a little over a year.
Thank you, Ed. I appreciate you being part of the family here.
Thank you very much. Question not exactly on subject, but whatever became of the famous 1970s era UFO chaser August C. Roberts?
I don't know if he's still alive. I think he did.
Who did he train to replace him? Who's his successor? Do you know?
I do not know. I never had an opportunity to interview him.
Wow.
But you know what? But now that you have sparked some interest, I'll do some checking.
Okay.
We'll do that. Because I had heard he was one of the best.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Appreciate your time.
Okay, Ed. And thanks for joining us. Mark in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. You are on Coast to Coast. Hey, Mark, what's up?
Hey, shipmate. How you doing?
Oh, I am fine. A Navy guy, huh?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
I served on PBRs in Vietnam. Oh, I was a Riverine.
Thank you for... Boy, I bet you have some stories, Mark. Jeez.
Well, a few.
Man, you want to share any before we get into what you called
about?
Yes,
in particular. Okay. We were scheduled to do a insertion, and we had just fueled up and loaded our ordnance, which I was a gunner, sat my twin 50s in the gun dub, and had a lot of ordnance underneath me. And just as we had rounded a bend in Snoopy's nose, we took a B-40 rocket, right dead center, right midship. Man. And we went up like the 4th of July. And actually, the only thing I remember is getting up that morning and eating Beanie Weenies. And the next thing I know, I was leaning up against the mangrove tree. I was in the water. And had been blown into the water. And I have no explanation how I got out of the gun tub, made it on the land, and leaned up against a mangrove tree.
Man, somebody was there for you, Mark.
Yes, sir. And a LERPS team found me 3 days later.
Jeez, did we lose any guys in that
situation? No, I was a sole survivor.
But we did. We lost a lot of soldiers, Owen, men.
Yes,
huh?
Yes, we did. We lost the best.
God.
But anyways, as they were flying me to an FEU and then to a MASS unit, a hospital unit, you know how they go through triage?
Yes.
And they toe tag in, or they toe tagged me and gave me up for gone.
Yeah.
The next thing I knew, I woke up and I was in a dark, cold room with some fans going on in it. And I was in the morgue. And the surgeries were all over with.
Oh, man.
The corpsman saw, I guess he saw my hand move or something, but he went rushing over there and got the doctors. They rushed me into surgery. They did the surgery, and I survived. And ever since then, prior to this, I was not such a nice person. I was a rather vindictive, evil person. And something happened to me during that time. And I was just surrounded with this light just all around me. And when I came out of it and I recovered, my whole personality changed. My demeanor with people. First things first, George. I love you, man. You are truly a wonderful spirit, and I love what you do for people, with people, and it's much appreciated, and I know you hear it all the time, but it's a God's honest truth. And
I got to tell you, I am so overwhelmed with this story, Mark, this change you went through from this person who... And you know what you were.
Mean.
To a person who became really someone in the light. It's almost as if this episode, this near-death experience, chased whatever that was in you, maybe even a demon for a while.
It's exactly what it was, because we were into, we had this thing about being like druids, and we worshiped the god of war and everything. Yeah. We had a little clique and stuff, and it was demonic. And now when I see people, you had that lady on earlier talk about auras. I don't know whether you call it discernment of spirit, but I can be around a person and I can sense deep things inside them that they're hidden, whether it be it good, whether it be it bad, and it forms a hue, a color, and it's ever faint, but it's there, and especially around the eyes. And I just want to say to everybody out there that there is so much going on right now, that there's so much fear mongering and dread and everything. I just want to tell people that God loves you. God cares for you. God is with us. And there is nothing impossible with God, because love is all that matters. And I just want to tell everybody out there, I love you. I love you, George. I love everybody out there, and I wish them all the love that God can give them, because we need it so desperately right now. Because everything seems to be revolving around everything else, but nobody talks about love anymore. And I don't mean, I love you, but I mean from the heart.
Good for you, Mark. You have yourself a good weekend, my friend.
I will. And God bless you, George, and God bless this show.
What an amazing turnaround. Can you believe it? What a story. Steve in San Diego, where I shall be the first weekend of May. Hey, Steve, how are you?
Oh, fair to Midland. Greetings and salutations to talk show host Dunzel. I might be so bold as to paraphrase the original Star Trek. You remember the episode where they invented a robot captain?
Uh-huh.
And a Dunzel, for those who don't know, is a piece of equipment that serves no useful purpose. It's simply a barren ornament.
I wonder if that's where they got the idea to do this robotic talk show host.
I called to remind or inform the listening public. The purpose of the government is not to supply welfare checks or to maintain everybody's lifestyle. It's to maintain the status quo. That is their sole purpose. Besides maintaining the military, which they use to maintain the status quo. That's why when they have incredible inventions, they're suppressed for 100 years. It's because it would upset the stock market,
mm-hmm.
current technology, and the working class.
And shatter the status quo.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is why they're bailing out these quote-unquote too-big-to-fail companies, because they're destroying the status quo and threatening the existence of the stock market.
That's well
That's
said,
why
Steven.
They refuse to disclose any possibility of any of these conspiracy theories you were talking about.
That's so true.
Because it would shatter the paradigm and destroy the status quo. And I'd also like to hand you a yardstick that you might consider using.
All right.
The seed of all evil. You can do no evil to man or God without selfishness.
That is absolutely true. Yep.
Have a good night.
All right. Do you remember when Gordon Gekko made his speech in the movie Wall Street, played by Michael Douglas, great actor? And he's coming back as Gekko again, by the way, Gekko after prison. He talked about how greed was good. And I keep remembering that quote every time I look at what has been going on now with this Bernie Madoff situation and all these other people who are getting it left and right. And there's more out there. They just haven't caught them all yet. But Steve's absolutely right. Let's go to you, Tina, in Georgia. First-time caller. Hi, Tina.
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, I wanted to share a dream I had. It's like 20 years ago, but
20-year dream, and you still remember it?
Oh yeah.
All right, what is it?
I was trying to go to sleep, and I was, I don't know, upset about something. I went in the other room, away from my husband. I was upset that I went to sleep, and I got woke. I guess it was a rocket was just coming toward me in my sleep, just really fast. And I was just, like, fearful, just scared. I mean, it just startled me. I don't know how to explain how fearful I was. And then there was somebody on the rocket, and it stopped, and it said, I'm going to take you to the divine providence of the Lord. And I really didn't understand what that meant. I had to literally go look up providence to understand this dream. But during that time, I was trying to figure out what church I was going to go to. I was confused about everything. And it directed me to the right church, that dream did.
And you've not left ever since?
I've never left the church. And it was, I won't advertise it, but it's a church with non-denomination. And I was always told to ask what the doctrine was. And they said their doctrine was the Bible. And it has all races in the church. And it was just, I've always stuck to it.
Well, good for you. I'm glad it works for you, Tina. And that's really all that matters. Let's go to Mitch. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Where are you calling from, Mitch?
Hey, Dr. Mr. George Norrie.
Hey, where are you?
I'm in beautiful Windsor, California. Just right down the road from Bohemian Grove.
Oh, good. Drop by and say hi for us.
Actually, George, I do the two-way radios for them. For their
encryption. For real?
Oh, yeah. It's real cool. Anyway, that's now that I've said my name, I probably
it's all over
my SEC license go down the drain as we speak. Not good. George, long-time listener. First time talking to you.
Okay.
Got to tell you, my friend, you have and along with your crew, have a fantastic show.
Well, thank you, Mitch.
We
inherited a great show, first of all.
Well, you did. You know, Art's a good friend of mine. I'm a fellow ham operator. As a matter of fact, I just got off 75 meters.
Is he still doing his ham radio stuff?
You know, to be honest with you, I haven't spoken to Art on HF in a while.
He's really
engrossed in his
he's busy
beautiful
with his
child
family.
And wife. And,
yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Anyway, George, again, you're a great guy, and man, I'm glad I got a chance to call you, and I finally did. It's pretty cool. You know, I got to tell you, George, tonight when I called, I guess the person who does the screening or whatever had told me that I had asked him. He asked me what I was going to ask. I said, well, you know, I wanted to find out about D.B. Cooper, and I thought that a few weeks ago you had an update, but he told me that was Ian.
Ian did a complete update show. We had a little story about an FBI agent who's been following the case, and he claimed that D.B. Cooper did not survive the jump, but he believes that he knew who he was.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Do they know who he was actually and where he lived and what he did, or?
Well, they thought they did, but they were never able to prove it.
Wow. You know, ever since I was a kid, George, I mean, I always had this fantasy that I was going to find that money, you know? I was going to find that money. But you know what? It never happened. But, you know, not to get off the beaten path, but someone had said that a kid stumbled upon a bag of money somewhere on a trail near some water somewhere.
And that was recent, but they kind of poo-pooed that as being from D.B. Cooper. And then a long time ago, they found some money. I think it's out there in the forest somewhere.
You know, so do I, George.
Yep.
So do I. I really do. I would love to take my son. Not only would I like to go find a bunch of gold, but you know what? That would be very cool. How cool would that be?
What was it? $200,000, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Then it was a significant amount. I don't know what the equivalent is now. But yeah, it was a huge amount of money. Now, it was all paper money, wasn't it?
It was all paper money. It was all in one big satchel. And so, unless it hit and exploded or something.
Right.
But it's probably in some tree up there somewhere. Who knows?
George, do you think that that could actually survive through the elements?
Yeah, I do. I do. You know, even if it, let's say, was a 20 to 30,000 foot jump, I think if it was tied up properly, it would have survived. It would have just kind of floated around for a while.
Now, as I understand it, money is at least the paper, according to some sources that I've read, say that a lot of the paper is made out of a special pulp and some fibers and stuff that it,
okay,
it could withstand the elements. But, you know, there's a contradiction in those terms, is because I heard also that the circulation, the expectancy of a circulation of a bill typically is 2-3 years, I think. I might be wrong, but I think that's pretty close.
Well, I used to have, you know, dollars that were older than 2 or 3 years.
Right.
I mean, some of them were like 20, 30, 40 years old, I used to have.
Could you imagine, though? You know, I did. I got to tell you, this is kind of weird. I had a weird dream, though, because I had read a little article on D.B. Cooper. You know, I had a bizarre dream. I don't know where the heck this came from, George. Maybe from listening to your shows or something. I don't know. Probably.
Listen, let's blame Ian if it was
bizarre. Yeah, we'll do it. Hey, I'm all for that. Anyway, you know, I had this vision that it was actually the dream that an eagle had found it and made a nest out of it.
You know, that's very possible.
You know, what do you think?
Very possible.
I mean, it's fibrous. Man, what a great thing. George, I don't want to take any more of your
time. Okay, Mitch. Take care of yourself, my friend. Be good. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about what you expect this week. And next week on Coast to Coast, we'll take our break and come back with more open line phone calls. Great week in store for you, by the way. John Rhodes joins us on Monday. UFO researcher, crypto hunter. He's going to be talking about a lost underground city in the Grand Canyon. I'm looking forward to that. It's exciting. And then paranormal investigator John Zaffis joins us with his special guest, Carmen Reed, who talks about living in a haunted former funeral parlor. As a matter of fact, one of my first major radio jobs was in a former funeral home in Detroit, Michigan. Yep, the owner at that time had his radio station in a funeral home. And every once in a while at night, I'd give the news, and then I'd go back to the newsroom. I'd be the only guy there. Disc jockey would be on the down the hallway. It was creepy because the shaft that used to carry the bodies up and down would move. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.